In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. I come across quite a bit of information concerning our health and how we are to take care of our health, but there is very little that is substantial that will help us save our own souls, that is good for the life of our soul. So often we're told that our physical health is in our own hands. If we will change what we eat, if we will change our exercise, our routine, if we will change our lifestyle, we can change our physical health. But there is something that is much more important than this physical health. There's something more important than what we put into our mouths, what we eat. For our Lord tells us himself, it doesn't matter what goes into the mouth, that's not what defiles him. It's what comes out of his mouth. It's what's festering in his own heart. That is what defiles us. That is what destroys the life of our soul. That is what makes us spiritually sick. When it comes to our physical bodies, our physical health, we know from experience that common, simple food. The scriptures are filled with references telling us to eat plain, simple food, to eat that which is least prepared, that which God has already created that is ready for us to eat. Constant emphasis upon these things. We just read in one of those epistles there of Daniel in the fire. But I'm reminded of Daniel when he was taken captive there and they were trying to fatten him up, him and his companions there. He did not want to eat of the flesh that was offered to these idols. And so he asked that he and his companions be given just herbs, some pulse, simple, plain food. And his caretaker was really worried, you know, if you don't get fat like the other children, I'm going to be in big trouble. And he says, let's just have a test. You feed us what I ask, and if we don't look plump and full to you at the end of, I forget, was it a week or 2 weeks? He says, then we'll eat what everyone else is eating. But they grew fat and strong, and they looked healthier than all the others when they abstained from the flesh meat that was offered to these idols. And of course, in the New Testament, we learn that these sacrifices to the false gods, to these idols, are nothing. And therefore, we can truly eat of anything that is placed before us. But St. Paul warns us that if it were to scandalize another, that we should abstain from it. And I mention all these things about this physical food, because we seem to be obsessed as a society with eating, finding the most delicate food, the most tasty things, to find the best restaurant to attend, preparing the best meal. And all of this eventually just turns to excrement. But we are so obsessed about this and pleasing our palate, tasting various foods, experiencing different cuisines from all the different cultures, tasting food from all over the world for something that's just going to pass right through us. And yet, when it comes to feeding our soul, we don't care in the least. When it comes to feeding our soul, we think, oh, it doesn't matter. Visit the church of your choice, whatever is convenient at that time. There's no need to put a lot of effort in preparing our soul to feed our soul. Preparing the food that we are going to receive to nourish our soul, very little effort. And it's really almost scandalous that Catholics put so much effort into the pageantry of a baptism, of a first communion, of a wedding. We put all this emphasis on the external to feed the body. And it seems that we forget that these sacraments were instituted to feed the soul. At that first communion, so many little children are all excited about the pageantry, their new dress, the party that they're going to have afterwards, the cake, the gifts that they're going to receive. And they're worried about feeding this body, the passions, the worldly expectations are all filling their thoughts and their minds. And it seems that very little emphasis is placed on the fact that their souls are being fed, on this wonderful banquet that man hasn't placed out, but that God has placed before them. And that far from running out of the church after their first communion to go and get their picture taken and to have all these celebration and festivities, it would be more important for them to spend more quiet time in the chapel before our Lord, reflecting upon what they have received into their bodies, feeding their soul, taking their time and truly trying to digest the wonderful graces that God is feeding them, rather than causing great spiritual indigestion and turning away from God and immediately to the world. But it seems that we have lost touch with all of that. We have lost touch with the idea that we are supernatural beings, that we are called by God to a mystic state, to a mystical union with Him, that He wishes to feed not only our bodies, but more importantly, our immortal souls. He wants to feed and transform our souls and to make them like His own. When He gave us Himself in the Holy Eucharist, He gives us Himself in the most plain and simple food, bread and wine. And the wine even has a little water mixed into it. You can't get much more simple, much more common than this food. But it is this food, with the blessings of God, that is able to transform our souls. This food is made into the body of Christ, that we receive into our own bodies, not for this flesh, not for the palate, not for our stomach. We receive Christ to transform our souls, to feed our hearts, to feed our minds. And I ask, how many take the time to prepare for this meal as well as they take the time to prepare for their worldly meals, for their worldly celebration? It is truly a tragic thing that we have lost sight of this spiritual food, of this spiritual transformation that is to take place within us, that we have lost touch with our spiritual health, and we never stop to realize that just as what we put into our body affects our physical health, likewise that which we put into our bodies affects our spiritual health. That which we look at, that which we watch can corrupt our soul, can destroy the life of God's grace within us. That which we listen to can scandalize and corrupt and lead us down the path of perdition. That which we touch, that which we taste, all have the power to overcome us, to overwhelm us, to make us forget our soul, to make us lose the life of God's grace within us. And so in order to protect this health of our soul, we must be constantly on our guard, watching what we allow ourselves to hear, to see, to smell, to taste, to touch, knowing that all of these things tend to take our hearts away from God and focus all our attention upon the world. And I'm not suggesting that our sacraments and these milestones within our lives should not be celebrated with some worldly pomp and splendor. But I'm suggesting that we not allow this worldly pomp and splendor to rob us of nourishing our souls, rob us of that more important grace, that more important celebration, that we have received God into our hearts, that we are transformed into His image and likeness. It is really a tragic mistake I think our society has made. We have destroyed so much of our health, and now we see so many books, so many diets, so many fads, all trying to restore health to us, to our bodies. And I see there is no real and solid effort to do the same for our souls. I dare say there's even less effort to save our souls than there is to feed our bodies. And there is a lot written out there about religion, about faith, about God, but it is like so many of the popular diets and fads. It's all junk. Where is that solid, that right diet for our bodies? We can look all over. This one, high protein diet, low carbohydrates. This one, no protein, all carbohydrate. Back and forth, and we know, at least from our own experience, we know from the experience of others, even that which was written in the scriptures, that the best diet for our bodies anyway is a simple one. An easy one. That everything should be taken in moderation, nothing to excess. And we learn that just a little bit of something's not enough to really kill us, but if we keep adding these little bits up, it's enough to destroy our health. But yet so many people write all these books, have all these seminars, how to lose weight, how to do this, and how to improve our health. So many pharmaceuticals are promoting their little pills. Take this pill and it'll cure all your ills. And nobody wants to come up and say, you have to take charge of your own health. You have to watch what you put into your mouth. You have to exercise. You have to examine your own life and see what works for you. You need to do everything in moderation. Avoid excesses, which everybody already knows, but nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to do it. And I suggest the same thing has taken place in the spiritual realm. Everybody is out there talking about it. You have all kinds of religions, this one and that one, all telling you the easy way to get into heaven. You don't have to do penance. Just accept Jesus as your personal Savior and it's done. Just believe and that's enough. Just be baptized. That's enough. Just come and make an altar call. That's enough. Or put your hand to the TV screen next to mine. And that's enough. They're all looking for this easy way. They all want to cheat reality. And there are hundreds of different diets out there. There's hundreds of different religions out there. And it's all garbage. We know what is good for our bodies, and we know what is bad. We know we must exercise. We know it's not easy to resist all the poisonous foods they want to shove down our throats and make so tasty. I even joke with some people, you know, when it tastes this good, it's got to be poison. They make poison taste so good, so sweet, because they want us to eat it. That's what they have done to religion. They have made it saccharine sweet, so that everybody keeps coming back for the poison, keeps returning to the error, to feed our soul. We have to discipline this flesh. We have to hear what Christ said. Take up your cross daily. Come, follow me. We have to be ready to lose this life in order to save the life of our soul. We must seek first the kingdom of God and its justice. We must lead a life of mortification, of penance, of prayer. Only in this means are we going to find that health for our soul. Only in this means are the gates of heaven going to be opened up to us. For nothing stained enters the kingdom of heaven. As I mentioned to some children in catechism class not long ago, if you want to get into heaven, you have to pass the test. And I asked them, do you know what a passing grade is to get into heaven? What you have to get on this test to get in the door? It's not just a mere 60% or 70% or even an 80% or 90%. That's not going to get you in the door. You want to get into heaven, you have to pass the test with 100%. You have to get a perfect score. Anything less, you're not getting in. Nothing undefiled is entering the kingdom of heaven. And so our lives have been given to us so that we might keep striving to reach that perfect score. So that we can spend our lives mortifying the senses, allowing only that which is good, only that which is wholesome into our hearts, into our souls, so that far from corruption and filth breeding and developing in our hearts and coming out of our mouths, we should have nothing but charity. Nothing but goodness, only that which is wholesome, growing, festering within our hearts. And that way, the only thing that comes out from us will be charity. And just the opposite of worrying about what goes into our mouths. We must worry what comes out of them. And if we're not to worry about what comes out of them, we must make sure that there is nothing evil within our hearts. We must constantly and vigilantly be looking into our hearts. And if we see that certain sounds, certain sights, certain tastes, certain smells, certain people, certain occasions, certain situations fill our hearts with evil, or start the festering of evil within our souls, then we must know that that is bad for us, and we must no longer allow these things to enter into us. We must no longer participate of these things. And what might be good for one is harmful for another. God has given us the intelligence. If one person eats this food and grows strong and the other one has an allergic reaction, the one with the allergic reaction says, I can't eat this anymore. If I want to stay healthy, I'm going not to eat it. It is the same with our souls. When we see that something causes damage to our conscience, to our souls, even if someone else may be able to enjoy it and not be hurt by it, we ourselves must turn away, must avoid that occasion, must avoid that situation, because that is what is necessary for our soul. That is what is necessary for us to purge from our lives so that we may be made pure, that we might be made whole, and be pleasing to God. And it's not an easy thing. It's not just pop a pill and it's all over. Or recite this prayer, these words. So many of these heretics accuse the Catholic Church of being superstitious with her sacraments, her sacramentals, her devotions and prayers, her litanies, novenas, when they are actually the superstitious ones. They're looking for something that is much more easy. If you ask any of them, they'll look at the Catholic Church and say, but that's too hard. They're looking for an easy way. They're looking for this signed document that says they've been saved. And they don't have to do anything else. They made their altar call. They've been saved and that's it. No more worries, no more cares. Sounds like the snake oil peddler. Their panacea is going to cure everything. That is superstition. There is no easy way. The only way to heaven is with Christ. And if we wish to go with Him, if we wish to be His disciple, He's already told us, take up your cross daily and come, follow me. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.